he abides, if he abides in us, keeps us from all hurt and all iniquity, both seen and unseen.
Thank you,
takes care of all of our needs.
Thank you.
Continuing this thought process we've had over the year. It's just the same month. But it says, motivations to nurture the spiritual mindset. And this morning, the motivation comes to nurture the spiritual mindset.
Amen.
So as Pastor develops this morning, I want you to pay close attention. This morning, we're talking about what we lost and what we gained. Now we're going to talk about the motivations to nurture the spiritual mindset.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, when you're ready.
Amen. We give the good Lord praise once again. Amen. Always a blessing to return to the house of the Lord. Amen. Another day's journey. Amen. I want to thank God for letting us be here one more time.
Amen.
My Lord!
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus!
Yes, sir.
Oh, he's worthy.
Yes, he is.
He's worthy.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We're going to go ahead and call your attention to a couple of passages to hang our thoughts on today. We thank God for letting us be here.
Amen.
And we know that, as the song says, the Lord will make a way. Amen.
He will.
All you do is look around.
That's right.
And you know that he will make a way. Amen. Sometimes it looks like there is no way. But God finds a way, and we can make it somehow. Amen. We may not think about it as we're going through it, but we live in some difficult times. And you know, we have an overlapping theme that we're talking about, living life in the Spirit, which is the only way we can hope to be able to execute the things that the Word says. And we live in troubling times right now. And there's a sense in which there have always been troubling times for
always.
God's people.
Always.
So we're going to look today to take a glimpse at a portion of the history of the covenant people to talk about motivations to nurture the spiritual mindset. God has had people in every season of time who sought to have their mind be fixed on things above, spiritual things, rather than things on the earth. And there's been a great divide among the people throughout all the years of time, all the way back from the very beginning, to have this happen. So it's very important for me and you, especially in the time in which we live, to understand that there are things that press us or motivate us to nurture having a spiritual mind, because it's people with a spiritual mind who are able to see past the centrifuge and the craziness of the devil. The devil's spinning around a lot of stuff and twisting stories to get people's mind set on the flesh, when God wants us to have our mind set on the Spirit. Because it is in the Spirit that we're able to see the activity of God. Amen. Only in the Spirit. So there are many things that we want to look at here in a brief time today. And as we mentioned, of course, this is, as we have said, this is the second 12th of this 2020 year. We passed 1/12 of the year already. Doesn't that seem amazing? We were just delighted not long ago that the year turned over, the 2020. Now we're 12th into it, moving into the second 12th, if you will. So let's read here 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 22, just a few verses, 22 to 25. Read with me. This is from the KJV. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord, that is, that King Ahaz, For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria help him, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all Israel. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord and made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers. That's of the King Ahaz. May God bless the reading of his old covenant word. And now just for a few verses in the New Testament from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verses 31 to 39. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's the New Testament to the people of God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I want to talk just a few minutes about motivations to nurture the spiritual mindset. Amen. How do you stay in the spirit even when you're under attack by the enemy? And I want to ask a question. You know the answer. How often are we under the attack of the enemy?
Always.
But how often are you under the protection of the Most High God?
Always.
All right now. See, so that's one reason that would motivate us to nurture the spiritual mindset. But we have to be careful, because we looked last week, we were talking about developing spiritual assessment of trials and conflict. Now, think about that again just a minute. I want to put that idea fresh in your head. And if you didn't hear last week, it is online. It'll be right there for you to listen to how to develop spiritual assessment. In other words, how do we analyze the fact that we're always under spiritual attack? If you don't know you're under spiritual attack, guess what? You're losing.
Amen.
You have to be aware that the devil is always trying to do something.
Amen.
To work against you. See? And you know what? He doesn't show up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. The Bible says, and Paul says it this way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
So it may look like the person next door to you, or a person down the street, or a person in the street. But really behind it, there are dark forces, spiritual darkness and wickedness in high places. People who don't know God are pretty desperate in the world.
Yeah.
See? Desperate people do what?
Desperate
things. So you're surrounded with people who are sold out to desperation, who don't have the ability to understand the love of God. You have people in the church sometimes. Just because you're saved, does that mean the devil leaves you alone?
No.
You know what? He gets more slick and more cunning, and he'll find other ways to get to you. But he still won't show up in a red suit with a pitchfork. You know? As Ray always say, don't let the devil ride. You know how the devil rides? He comes in with somebody else who allows it.
Amen.
So you and I need to see that when things are going on that are not not what you think they should be, or if they're creating an obstacle or trouble for you. That's why we needed last week's lesson, so that we can develop an ability to assess what's going on when we have trials and conflict. There are a lot of things in the world that bring you conflict and trials. Sometimes it's just a day-to-day grind, the needs of everyday life. Sometimes it's things that you have a felt need. You feel like, oh, I wish I felt a certain way or had a certain thing happen to me or to be treated a certain way, even though it seems like I'm not receiving what I would like. Sometimes you receive something you don't want, totally. And you'd like not to have to deal with this situation or these people. It comes in the form of people, might be people you care about who don't do what you think they should do. So there's a lot of different things that bring us to a test and a trial or some form of conflict in life. You have to realize that all the conflicts, all the trouble, everything you go through, whatever it is, whether it's at your job or on your street or even in your church.
Yes.
God is there for you at all times. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're having a trial, think about what's the best thing for me to do, the most godly thing that I can do. How can I stay in the spirit and not slip over into the flesh?
All right.
Now, we mentioned this a couple of lessons back, that there's always some reason why that old person who we are will even have a tendency to rise up again. We slip into the flesh many times. See, but we want to learn to walk in the spirit. Paul says this, I say, walk by the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts or wars against the spirit. And the spirit is against the flesh. And these two are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. So God has given you the Holy Spirit in order to check you, keep you in check about everything you do. But sometimes when human emotion becomes a factor, then it'll cause us to slip back into the flesh.
Yep.
And so I wanted to motivate you today to realize that when you're going through things, God is there with you. We sing songs about it, and that helps, that the Lord will make a way. Sometimes there's a situation that looks like it'll be despairing. Some I may not be able to make it through. Things threaten you all the time.
Yes.
There's trouble on every side. Danger seen and unseen. And God takes you through. He's brought you through all that you've had to deal with from the time of your birth up until right now. How do I know? Because I see you sitting here. So he has protected you. He brought you through everything you had to deal with. See, successfully, you are here. Now, our attitude about what we went through may be another story. How do you feel about everything that you've been through? See, how do you feel about where you would like to be? See, because we all have goals and aspirations looking forward, and sometimes we're frustrated about how those things seem to be going. So we have to learn at all times to choose the spiritual mindset rather than to let the physical mindset take over. Because even though we are saved, we are not perfect. See? And we learn more and more. This is why the great call of the Great Commission is to go into all the world and teach. Make disciples is what that word means. All the nations. So we never cease from being disciples. So, and as a being a disciple, we learn more and more how to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, simply what that means is look at what God promised you. Look at the history. He's given us a book of history of promises that he made. We call it the Bible. And it gives you the lives of all these people who God has dealt with. He separated a covenant people to himself. And they were called covenant people. Why? Because God made them a promise. They started with Abraham when there didn't no such people existed. And God took Abram. And he told him, in your seed, which he had none, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was a big promise. He said, I'm going to multiply your seed, which doesn't exist. He didn't say that. I'm just putting that in the cracks there. I'm going to multiply your seed as the sand of the seashore. and as the stars of heaven. And y'all know I've said this many times, one handful of sand is enough to boggle your mind. You know, how many grains are in there? You could spend your whole lifetime and never be able to count them. Much less say the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. They still don't know how many stars are in heaven. With all the so-called intelligence we have no idea, because every time we think we've seen the end of it, God shows you 50 more galaxies you never saw. And he said, I made it that way so men would fear me. But you know what? Men don't fear him. They go, we've seen past Andromeda now. We're going to go ahead and look into the black hole and move out into stellar space. And they think they know so much, start naming stuff after them. Like, oh, okay. All right, I got you. But the fact is, human intelligence, as we looked at last week with Solomon, can only take you so far. See? But you know what? What God promised can take you all the way.
Amen.
And so that's where we need to learn, is see what did God say. That's why I love the Bible. Because it gives us accounts of people who walked by faith and others who didn't. And we can see the outcome of what happened to the folks who didn't believe God. Or they got in the heat of trials and conflict, and then they decided to go in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Look here at this 2 Chronicles. Now, I looked at a little history, and I'm going to ask you to do this on your own, because I realized that I always call this Sausage Day. People say, Sausage Day? Yeah, Groundhog. It's Groundhog's Day. That's a joke, okay. But in either case, Sausage Day, it happened to be my sister, one of my sister's birthday, and I used to joke with her about that. But the fact is, that's just something to get your mind into another set there. I don't want you to be too serious here today. It's also supposed to be Super Bowl 54. You see what I'm saying? And so that means in my whole lifetime they started all that up, because I'm older than 54. I passed up Brother Douglas some time ago when he was talking about his age this morning. But the fact is, God has been faithful to me all my days. I can't say he ever let me down. Now, have I been having a flawless life with no trials, no conflict? No. I've had some damage done to me. I've been hurt. I've been buked and scorned, like the old folk like to say. I've had trials and tribulations and ups and downs. I heard somebody saying this morning, but all of my good days outweighed my bad days, and that's the truth. You know, and so I'm learning not to complain. I do still complain, so I'm not going to say that. The fact is, we find ourselves in the middle of complaining when things don't go our way. But think about the covenant people again. God gave them a promise. He set them up. They became the greatest people on earth in a portion of their history. Okay, from the time of Moses, who called them out of bondage. He hibernated them in bondage. This was generations after Abraham, 430 years. Abraham believed God and welcomed what God promised from afar off. We mentioned that last week. But the fact is, he never received the fullness of the promise. But that doesn't mean God's promise was not good.
Right.
Just because you haven't gotten everything God promised you doesn't mean that you won't.
That's right.
You need to settle on your spirit, like that song says, I'm reaping the harvest God promised me.
Yeah.
You know, God has promised you a harvest.
Yeah.
He said, if you keep on sowing, you will reap.
Yeah.
And reaping and sowing is something we've seen all our lives.
Yeah.
Everything that you've ever eaten, every tree there is, everything that produces the food you enjoy, is the product of reaping and sowing.
Yes, it is.
See, even actions that you do in life, if you sow to the flesh, Paul says, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's what brings us in trouble. But he said, if we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Yes.
So God is trying to teach us that the principle of sowing and reaping is still there in everything we deal with. You reap what you sow. That's just the way it is. That's a fact. Just like God promised Abraham that he would bless the world through his seed. So what we're looking at, this person I pulled up, I could have pulled up a number of people to talk about this subject. But I thought that King Ahaz is very interesting to me. Because what happened, he got into a trial and a conflict. And he found himself turning himself to false gods rather than believing what God had told him. You know what? The majority of people, this is what I want you to understand today. The majority of the people in the world do not trust God.
Right.
In spite of popular belief, Most people don't trust God.
Amen.
And I say that, and I can back it up.
Yeah.
You know what? The majority of Israel did not trust God.
Yeah.
You know what? They talked about God. They said they knew him. But when the going got tough, you couldn't count on them. This 12 that we keep mentioning, God called 12 tribes. And he brought them out of the seed of one man, Jacob. See? And he multiplied them into 12 tribes. The number 12, I don't want to take a lot of time with that, but it is something awesome. That's one of the reasons we know there is a God. There's 12 months in the year, 12 hours on the clock. We could go on and on. He made 12 tribes of Israel. On that piano, there are 12 keys of music in every instrument, and they make all the music you ever heard with those 12 keys. 12 is very significant. Goes all the way through to the book of Revelation. There are 12 gates in the city of God. See? And it's not accidental. The Bible was written before we figured out the piano only has 12 keys. And that a clock should have 12 hours. You know, we had to discover what God had already written in his word. Moses didn't know it. All those people who wrote, they didn't know that. You know, but it's all there in the book. These are reasons why we know that the Bible is spiritual. Because no way the folks who wrote it, the 40 authors that it had, who wrote over 1,600 years, wrote a perfectly precise book of information that you and I can feed on for all of our lives. So when the world says, we don't believe that, that's a bunch of, you don't know it. That's why you don't believe it.
That's right.
Because if you knew it and understood it, you would believe it.
Yeah.
I had to look and say, boy, this is amazing that this stuff is in here. And you know what? The covenant people had it. All that time, the kingdom of Israel was only united in two periods. That was in the kingdom time of the king David for 30 years and the time of Solomon for 30 years. The rest of the time, it was divided. All the way up here, as we see, and I'm not going to give you all the history today, but it's amazing to me. This is just to back up what I said. The majority of people do not believe God. They don't believe he said exactly what he means. And I can count on it. I don't care what I see. That's why the Bible says we look not at the things which are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. See? So we have to learn to look past what we see and remember that God will always do exactly what he said. When it looks like the majority is against what God said, this is what can happen to some people. What happened to Ahaz? Ahaz was one of the kings of Judah. Judah was the southern kingdom where only two of the kingdoms stayed where God told them to be. That's Judah and Benjamin. In the southern kingdom, 10 of the tribes defected, if you will, and set up their own worship based on what they wanted to do in the northern kingdom. So the majority was wrong. God didn't cast them out because he promised he would bless them. See? So God always keeps his end no matter what anybody else does. That's what you and I got to reckon in our minds, and this should motivate us to nurture having a spiritual mind.
Yeah.
Trust God to do exactly what he said he would do. No matter what it looks like to you, no matter how you assess what's going on in my life, no matter what trials come up or what conflicts or the way it looks or what the majority says, you got to learn to believe God anyway.
Yeah.
In spite of what the majority is doing. And I'm going to tell you now, the same thing is true. Not only did Israel do it, look at old bad Israel. No, but church is doing it.
Yeah.
People look at big crowds and all the kind of stuff that looks impressive. All of that. They don't measure what I'm getting in my church by the truth that God has said. That's the few, not the many. See? The majority is on the broad road, Jesus said. That leads to destruction. And he said, and many there be who go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. They don't even find it. You know why? They're not looking. They're not believing God. I'm going to go with the big crowd. Because look what they're doing, that must be right. But God's not striking them with lightning. Ahaz went with the big crowd. He was in the southern kingdom. Now let me just give a brief little bit of history. The northern kingdom was 10 tribes. The majority. Now we've seen this over and over. When the spies were sent out to spy out the land, Moses sent 12. Only two believed God. and said, we can take them. Why? Because God is with us.
Yeah.
Our God is bigger than them.
Yeah.
He's got more power than them.
Yeah.
Joshua and Caleb said, we can take the land.
Yeah.
The majority came back. Whoa, we look like grasshoppers. They're going to stomp us in the ground. They came with a bad report. They didn't believe God. So this occurs over and over and over. In the scripture, you see the big bundle of people on the wrong track.
Yeah.
You only see a few who say, I believe God. If God said it, I can do it.
Yeah.
See, faith walks by what God said.
Yeah.
Not by what I see.
Amen.
Not by what's popular. Not by what's selling. Not by what the majority wants.
Right.
Faith walks by what God said.
Yeah.
And I will not be moved.
Right.
See? And that's the way it is. And so Ahaz here, he should have been among the faithful. If you look at the introduction to the book of Isaiah, it tells you about the kings who occupied the land during the time of his prophecy. And I just want to go here 1 minute. Isaiah here says, this is the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, that's the southern kingdom,
mm-hmm.
in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. See, so we would say now, if you were to start counting up who was in office in your life, we would all have a different story. Somebody might say Eisenhower and start coming on up. You know, somebody might say Obama and start coming on up. Somebody might say George Bush or Bill Clinton, different people who were in charge in my lifetime. Isaiah said, I had Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Politics is not what I'm discussing, because the only politics that's going to last is God's politics.
Amen.
So when we see politicians up here, and even portions of the church supporting politicians, they should be preaching the gospel. See, if the politicians were preaching the gospel, they would be on the right track. But the fact is, they are not. See, so I don't have time to get hung up in that kind of politics. You and I have to motivate ourselves to nurture a spiritual mindset, realize that all politics are going to yield to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He already came and showed that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this whole world is configured around him. So why should I believe a bunch of people just because you happen to be in high position? You see, if it's different than what God said, we got to get ourselves off of believing what the populace believes and believe what God said.
Yes.
See, the people who are going to be prepared when Jesus returns are the people who trust what God said.
Amen.
The rest of them aren't even going to see it.
Amen.
That's why you hear them right now with all kinds of political messages. So I wanted you to see here these four kings. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, that's our guy today, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. They were alive. He was alive during the time of Isaiah, the prophet. Isaiah didn't even see the kingdom of God until the year King Uzziah died. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, I also saw the Lord. When Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You know, he was looking at politics. When Uzziah died, his heart was broken. He went to the temple to try to get some solace for his soul, because Uzziah died. He had been the king for 52 years. He began to reign when he was 16. And he died. Boy, that changed the whole country. And so Isaiah was broken, and he went to the temple to try to get some peace, because he knew we were going to have a big political shift. See? And he died, and he went to the temple, and he said, what, you know what? I got there, and I saw the Lord.
Yeah.
High and lifted up.
Yeah.
And the train of his robe filled the temple.
Yeah.
And the house was filled with smoke. He went to try to get some peace because Uzziah died. And that was a time period of 52 years when they had had a reasonable amount of success as a nation. Now, what's going to happen now? He was worried about what would happen now. Sometimes we get like that. We look at what the political structure is doing, who's in office, and we get a little out of hand because we worry about that. But I want to take your mind off of that, get you to put your mind on that God has a program, and it's moving forward.
Yes.
It's not 1 second out of sync. It's not going to fail. It'll be here when the heavens and earth have passed away. Isaiah in chapter 9 said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He promised the Messiah. And he said in chapter 53, we looked at this morning, that he was going to be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, that by his stripes we are healed. So he projected the coming of the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to which every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. See, politics is going to be higher, but in chapter 9, verses 6, he said, the child is born, the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. See that? And why? Because God promised David he would not lack a man to sit upon his throne. See, so you would think if you were in the succession of the kings of Israel, that you would have faith that God is working out his plan. He's working out his promises. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to have a man that sits on David's throne. That his throne will never be vacated. See, and he said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. God says, I promise I'm going to perform this. Notice what he said, a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. See, that's what the disciples were looking for when he came the first time. Lord, is it at this time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? They understood he was the Messiah, the child that was born, the son that was given. But isn't it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom? What about the government? It shall be upon his shoulders. See, they wanted it right then. Jesus told him, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has put into his own power, but you shall receive power.
Yes.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The church had a mission to the uttermost part of the earth. You know what? It's working. Why? Because we're in America, and there was no civilization of this type here when that was written. And the gospel is here. You know, and we are preaching the gospel and helping spread it to the rest of the world. So we need to keep our minds right there. Don't let the politics fool you. Don't let economical situations fool you. Don't let anything in this world fool you. Fix your mind and nurture your mind to be on the spiritual plan that God has. But that's the one that's going to be here when heaven and earth have passed away. Jesus is the one to whom every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Ahaz was in the middle of this. Notice it says, Uzziah, Jotham, which was his son. Guess what? Jotham reigned for 16 years after Uzziah died. Ahaz reigned for 16 years after Jotham died. And this is the period that we're looking at here. And Ahaz defected. He couldn't hold up his faith. And we see it here in 2 Chronicles 28:22. And it says here, and in the time of his distress, there was trouble among the Jews. This is some beyond 16, maybe some odd years after Jotham, his father, had died. He did trespass yet more against the Lord. See that? This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. Now why is he talking about Damascus? Here, realize this: Syria took the northern kingdom into captivity in 722 BC. They looked like they were being successful. They come in, they trampled the northern kingdom like it was a piece of dirt, like it was an old carpet. They stomped it down and took everything that they wanted. See, and Ahaz said, oh, he's looking, he's not up there, but he heard about it. What's going on in the northern kingdom where the majority of Israel is, the 10 tribes? They all went up there. And now they're getting stomped by the king of Damascus. Their gods must be greater than my God, he thought. He's in the southern kingdom. They're where they're supposed to be. They have the temple. They're trying to continue to worship God. The way he said, according to the tenets of Moses in the law. We go to the temple and sacrifice. The 10 tribes said, yeah, we don't need that. We'll set up our own temple in Samaria. That's why there was a great conflict between the Samaritans and the Jews, it seems. that went on even when Jesus came to the woman at the well. She remembered all the way back to the time of Ahaz when they divided up the country going after other gods. See, our country is divided right now. And we got all kinds of people talking about all kinds of so-called gods. But we were founded on the basis of Christ crucified, buried, and risen. People came here to worship God freely. See, we want to get away from the government controlling religion. So we're going to come on and set up our own land. See, that's how this country got started. And what happened? It started off in godliness with the word at the center of the culture. And eventually all these other gods have risen up. The gods of wealth. The gods of power. And all of that. And the majority of the people are now suckered into worshiping the gods of wood and stone, if you will, for lack of a better term. You know, wealth and power. We have communications. We got transportation. We have all of these things we have that we covet and we worship. We've forgotten about the God who preserved us and promised us his son and fulfilled his word. And God could figure the world around Jesus, so you can't say you don't know about him. You can say it, but it's a lie. It's an ugly lie. You can't say you don't know about Jesus. Now, I don't care what your faith or your profession is. It's 2020 based on 2,020 years since Jesus was born everywhere around the globe. Not just in St. Louis or in America. It's like that in Timbuktu, anywhere you go. See, so people want to say we don't know about Jesus or we don't honor him. But God can figure the world around him. Ahaz, he wimped out, if you will. He went into the flesh. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. He thought these false gods would help him. But they were the ruin of him and all Israel. Now this term Israel normally refers to the northern kingdom, not the tribes where he was in Judah and Benjamin. So he looked at what the majority did, said, oh, he looks like the gods of Damascus was better than they got. So I'm going to sacrifice to him. This happens to countries, church.
That's so true.
It happens to cities.
That's right.
People abandon the true God. Next thing you know, what we have is what they get. I'm going to leave that like that. Look what we got now. We used to have a Bible in the center of our culture. See, no Bible, not here anymore. No prayer in the schools, get that out. Next thing you know, you've got all kinds of sexual conflict. You have people who don't even understand the sanctity of marriage. And they say anything can be marriage. And all of that. They throw away every moral thing that was good, that was taught and believed among most of the culture. Until we decide we don't need that anymore. Now what you got? See what I'm saying? This is how we got here. And then the church has the nerve not to address it. The majority of the church. We want to close a blind eye to it. And not address it. But it's the same problem Israel had. Paul said these things that happened to Israel are written so that you and I, upon whom the ends of the age have come, can see what happened to them. And not do the same thing. Not go after evil things like they did. And so this happened to Ahaz, a very prominent king during the reign of Isaiah. Well, let's call it not the reign, let's say it's during the prophecy, the prophetic office time of Isaiah. Verse 24 in 2 Chronicles 28. Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God. These were sanctified for the use of the worship of the true God. And he cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. And shut up the doors of the house of the Lord.
Wow.
And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, other places other than at the temple.
Wow.
Took the stuff out of the temple and used it to worship a false god.
Wow.
And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers. See that? God says, if you don't own me, I'm not going to own you.
Yeah.
when it's time for you to need a representative, you know what? That's one thing I need. I'm not going to speak for you. But I need Jesus to say he was not ashamed of me on earth. Because he said, if you are ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you when you stand before my Father and his holy angels. So just as it was in times past, even among the chosen people of God, so it is even now among the church. As far as the ease at which people drift away because of desire to maintain some kind of an outward acceptance among the lost, who press to set a different standard which is more acceptable than the reality of what the true teaching of the scriptures really are. Just as King Ahaz, under the pressure of popularity, did, and what looked like to him to be success among the Assyrians. Looks like they're successful. So I'm going to go with what looks successful. We call that pragmatism.
Yep, that's true.
That means whatever works, let's do it. If I can give away a football and get you to come to church. No, I want you to come because you love Jesus. And that you know that he paid the debt for your sin. And that if you ain't coming for that reason, you ain't really here anyway. You're here for the wrong reason. See? So you can't do that. But the writer to the Hebrews, and I'm almost done, he warns the church here. He says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God's not going to change just because the majority of the people do. But to call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, in other words, you came to understand that you could see in the Spirit before you were blind in the Spirit. Like the songwriter said, we mentioned last week, I once was blind, but now I see. So you can't trick me with that anymore. He endured great fight of affliction. See that? The church had to go through great pressure to teach the gospel because the majority didn't believe it. It had never been heard of. And it came out of Jerusalem right at the time God promised. But it endured all the way till now because it's the truth. That's the reason it endured. It's the truth. It's the truth that will make you free. This writer says you all went through a lot of trouble. He's writing to the Hebrews. Because the early church was all Jewish until it started to go to the Gentiles later on in the book of Acts. But it started with the Jews, the 12. He said, partly while you were made a gazing stock, in other words, a laughing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. See, the church had a hard beginning because of the fact that they were contrary to everything else they called itself religion at the time, or a way to God. For ye, he says here, had compassion of me in my bonds. We don't know who this writer is because of that. Some people think it's Paul. And they took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. In other words, people stole all your stuff. People sometimes sold all their stuff to support the church. Knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. See that?
Yes.
God says, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Continue to believe in God, which hath a great recompense of reward, greater than anything you can store or possess on earth. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. God's promise is still coming. It's not even late. It's right on time. You don't have to worry about it. God got you covered if you believe in him. But yet a little while and he will come. He shall come, and he will come and will not tarry. When his time is right, nothing will be able to stop him.
Ready or not?
That's it. Ready or not, here I come. Boom, I'm up on you. You'll be like a thief in the night when he comes. Now the just shall live by faith. That's what this message is about. Get your mind set on faith.
Yes.
See, because faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So God's going to do everything he promised he's going to do. I don't care who's in the White House. Didn't make any difference who's in the Kremlin or in the City Hall, for all that matters. See, God's plan is right on schedule. We got to get our minds off of the carnal, off of the fleshy. That's some of the stuff that makes us the most angry. But look what he's doing today. Forget him. I'm not saying forget and pray for him, the Bible says. But don't let him get you hung up.
Amen.
And God's already got promises on the table. And they're coming. It just don't seem like it. But you know what? It's more sure than the very ground on which you stand. Because Jesus said, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So this writer goes on to say, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. That's what God said. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who have believed to the saving of the soul. So when the gospel had been ratified, in other words, Jesus came and defeated death in the grave, that by God and the resurrection from the dead of Jesus, that's the real reality you and I have to think about. The church came into being at that point. Now that was going to be both Jews and Gentiles who believe the good news of what God said. The church came into being. Their teaching was also met with persecution,
yes,
and imprisonment and execution, etc. It was all bad, but the church is still here. Nevertheless, the church continued in the scriptures and the apostles' doctrine and is still intact today,
yes,
as we can see. However, there is a great apostasy among the visible church.
Yes, sir.
Just as the scriptures have predicted as a sign of the last times. That's what we see. So you and I have to be aware. Yes, the church is going to fall away. Yes, they're going to go after other gods. Some of them are going to go in the way of Ahaz instead of in the way of faith. And so just as the writer to the Hebrews has written the persecuted believers, stating that they should endure all opposition to the message and cultivate the mindset to entrust the indwelling Holy Spirit, who will preserve and guide each one who takes a stand on the word of the gospel. See that? So this message is kind of a deep message. But I just want you to know, God is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do.
Yes, he will.
And you got to learn to see past the smoke screen.
Yes.
And see, where is the real church?
Yes.
Who doesn't mind taking a stand, standing up for the gospel?
Nah.
That's what's important.
Yeah.
I listen to people a lot of times, you seldom even hear the gospel.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you about how to make your life now. All that. Your life ain't going to be anything without the gospel.
Amen.
You build with wood, hay, and stone.
Right.
If you're not building on the rock, which is Christ, the sound foundation.
Right.
Nobody's going to get saved on wood, hay, and stone.
That's right.
You get saved by the good word of God that he so loved the world,
amen,
that he gave his son.
Right.
See, he said, preach the good news,
yeah,
to the ends of the earth. See, God will fix your life.
He will.
He'll take care of your stuff.
Oh, yes, he will.
He'll take care of what stuff you need.
Yeah.
He's not going to He will supply what he said. How many you need?
Oh.
All you need. See? According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So you and I have to get a little bit more tough skin.
That's right.
Keep our minds in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you know what? I'm going to say this and I'm done. I didn't intend to go that long.
That's all right.
But I want you to see, it's never your brothers and sisters that are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Jesus said, if I forgave you, you need to forgive me and their trespass.
Right.
Or neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. You don't hear that preached too much, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he says, if you can't forgive anybody, why should I forgive you?
Right.
That's deep.
Yeah, right.
I think the church needs to take a teaspoon or two of that. I really do. Because if I'm carrying a grudge or I got conflicts with people and the Lord is forgiving me, I want him to forgive me of the cesspool of all my mess.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I can't forgive you, Brother Douglas.
Mm.
You ain't right. Mm. Something is wrong with that. Who do I think I am? See? Can't do that one. It's all about forgiveness.
Yes.
See? You know what? I need him to say I forgive you.
Right.
I haven't become perfect. Maybe y'all did. Maybe y'all know a secret. I don't know.
See,
but he loves me, and he said, I accept you. So if you're here today and you have not ever been saved, we want to give you the opportunity to let you know that Jesus does love you. He died to pay your sin bill. And he will give you his Holy Spirit by faith. In fact, if you believe him and you never have, he's already done that. Because you wouldn't even be able to believe without him.
Amen.
You know that? The word says that we don't even have faith to believe. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. But he made us alive together. So when people come to Christ, it's because he already made them alive. They didn't suddenly figure out, oh, I need Jesus. No, God woke you up.
Yes.
He gave you by his spirit faith to believe in the gospel. Yeah. Dead people don't do anything. They can't do anything. They've already done everything they can do. But God says, I'll wake you up right now to give you everlasting life. So no matter what happens to you, you're already sealed in my kingdom. Because the earth is passing away in the fashion thereof. But they who do the will of God shall abide forever. See, ones who believe the gospel. So we give you that opportunity at this time. Also, we want to invite anyone that needs a church home. If you're here today and you're already saved, we offer this opportunity to you also. Because we are here to teach the word.
Yes.
We may be going contrary to popular opinion in here, but we are going in accordance with what's written in the word. And so God loves you. He's the only one that's given the world a solution for the biggest problem we have. We looked at how Solomon last week said everything is just vanity. No purpose. Striving after the wind. Because without the resurrection, that's true. What's the point? But God said because of the resurrection and because I live, you can live off
that. Amen.
You can trust me. Trust me with your earthly stuff because you can lay up heavenly stuff just by the way you use it. It's a stewardship. I see it that way, I feel better about it. See? And God says, I'm going to give you everything you need to do everything you want to do pertaining to my kingdom. See? I'm enjoying being in fellowship with God. I don't know what you think about it. But I say, I enjoy being in fellowship.
Yes, Lord!
See? Nothing else in my life.
Hallelujah!
So he said, believe in him. Amen. So we have done as God commands, and we hope you got a good word from the message today.